it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We hit 4 o'clock on this Wednesday. If you remember yesterday, about 26 hours ago, we were talking about the eerie silence that was coming from the New York Yankees, that it had been almost a week since their season ended at the hands of the Toronto Blue Jays. And while other teams have had season-ending press conferences, I had just watched the Tigers one, we had heard nothing from the New York Yankees. And the longer there's silence, the more you ask questions. Well, it took less than 24 hours for the Yankees to at least announce there will be a season-ending press conference, which will take place tomorrow, where Brian Cashman will address the fans, address the media, and in tow will be Aaron Boone.
Yes.
So what do we know?
He's not getting fired.
Unless it's a public firing, which I doubt.
Has that ever happened?
No. No, nor should it. That's very mean. Nor should that ever happen.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great. Depends who it's to. I mean, I wouldn't want to be fired that way.
No, I'm just saying.
Imagine one day.
I'm talking about for a major sports team.
Oh, I gotcha.
Where right. It's just kind of like, you know what? You suck. You're fired.
Actually, you know what? That should be the way it ends for me here. The architect just walks in and says, excuse me, I need a few minutes on the air. And he's like, Evan, thanks for your time. You're fired. And that's it. They leave. But Brian Cashman is going to meet the media tomorrow. One of the other things that came out today is that Anthony Volpe, and it's certainly not a surprise based on the injury he was dealing with, underwent, which means it's already happened, surgery to repair a torn labrum.
Mm-hmm.
But the torn labrum is in his non-throwing shoulder. So we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, but it's still his lead arm for hitting.
Okay, no, you tell me. I mean, how much of a timeline will you expect for Anthony Volpe to return to game action?
See, this is.
And by the way, I think Cash will answer this tomorrow.
Right.
The best he can, but.
Of course. It was different for my son because he was playing football.
Right.
Right? The torn labrum, and it was in his throwing shoulder. So that's why he couldn't play baseball anymore. And so he took his time returning, but it's also, he's going to play football.
Right.
So.
Different sport.
It's a different sport. There's contact you have to worry about and, you know, landing in a compromised way. So. I know what the prescribed is. It's 6 months or so, but sometimes it just takes longer, especially if it's functional to what you're doing. You know what I mean? And so
right.
Because it's his lead arm when he's swinging, I guess it depends on the level of damage, but I mean, 6 months seems quick. 4 to 6 months seems quick to me.
Mm.
So, and then you're going to lose muscle or you're going to atrophy other parts of your swinging mechanics. So, again, we'll to be determined. I'm sure Cashman will try to explain this tomorrow, but it just seems like he'll be fine in 4 months.
I will give
doesn't
you
doesn't seem right.
I will give you a comp, at least the best I can. Josh Jung of the Texas Rangers had a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was in February of 2022, so he suffered it at like the worst time possible because it was as the season was beginning.
Oh, that's miserable.
Yeah, and he suffered it while lifting weights, so really unfortunate. February of 2022, the injury occurred during spring training.
Yes.
Look this up for me, Sean. When did Josh Jung appear in a minor league game or a major league game in 2022? So that's a Major League Baseball player.
Right.
At the time, he was a prospect. That's why I say minor leagues, because I'm not sure he may have just gone to the minor leagues.
It's fine because it's good, because he was young.
He was young,
so
absolutely.
So it's similar in that regard.
No pun intended.
Right.
Because his name is Young.
Right.
That's a good comp just to get an idea, because I always like to do this with injuries. Like, show me another guy who had the same injury, and it kind of is. It's non-throwing shoulder, and Young is an infielder, so same kind of deal.
It's not like he's 30,
right?
Where you're just aged, and you're different. Your recovery takes longer, and... You know, it could be 7, 8 months.
Yeah, it could be.
One, because you're vested and you don't care and you just take your time. When you're young, you kind of want to, you're eager. So it'd be interesting to see when he came back.
Well, I don't know what took him so long. I already have the answer.
What is?
He appeared in his first game on July 28th.
In the minors?
In the minor leagues on July 28th. Now,
that's quick.
That is quick. So that's February. That's 5 months.
How did he do?
I mean, he went 1-for-3, but it was in single A, so I don't know how much I want to count that.
How long was his...
Okay, so here's the thing. Because he was a young player, he played in single A for 8 games, Then in early August, he was sent to AAA and was activated to the major league roster on September 9th. Hmm. So in terms of when he got back to the majors, because Anthony Volpe is going to need to get into games.
Yes.
Like, it's not just going to be, boom, he's back. From injury to return with 7 months to the major leagues. Surgery to return with 7 months to the major leagues, 5 months to getting into game action.
Right.
That feels okay. Is the middle of spring training.
Yes.
Which tells me he will not be ready for the start of the season. That's what that tells me.
But right.
Like, even on a regular scale.
Right, but they already have options here.
What do you mean?
For who's replacing him.
Okay, so this is the other part
Even if it's short term.
This is the other part of the discussion. Okay, so we're talking about his timetable.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this to you 3 weeks ago. I'll certainly say it now coming off an injury. The way I would handle Anthony Volpe, and this has nothing to do with his injury, but now his injury is a part of the discussion, is that he is not the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees. That's it. And the way I would handle this, and again, this was before injury, but now the injury is a part of it, is you are a super utility player.
Mm-hmm. Use it as an opportunity to shift his role and to try to find someone else to play shortstop.
Well, I would have done it anyway. Yeah. I didn't need an injury to his non-throwing shoulder and a surgery procedure, which we had an idea was going to happen because he played hurt this year,
yeah,
for me to come to this conclusion. I think the way Volpe needs to be handled, and Brian Cashman will be asked this directly tomorrow, I am sure, in many different ways. It's up to Brian on how he wants to handle it and what his honest answer is. My honest answer is you're not the starting shortstop.
Mm.
You're a super utility player, and we'd love to have you.
Right.
We want you to be healthy. You're going to learn second base. You're going to learn third base. And by the way, is it possible you can reclaim the shortstop job? Absolutely. Hit enough, field enough, be healthy. I can't tell you you're never going to be the guy again, but under zero circumstances would I view Anthony Volpe as the rehabbing starting shortstop for the New York Yankees.
Right.
That is a foolish mistake.
I agree with that. I mean, he was good in moments, but he was frustrating in a lot of last season. And I think the grace period for Anthony Volpe, because he was a star, has expired.
100%.
And at this point, and going into his fourth season, it's about proving. It's about production. It's about not even convincing anybody that you're ready for it, but because you've been here for 4 years or 3 years already, it's earning it every single time you go out there. I think he's at that point. It shouldn't be given to anyone, but in particular him. It shouldn't be given to him.
He lost the job, and the injury only makes it.
He lost the guarantee of the job.
Yeah, well, I think he's got a new job. Like, his new job, and there's a value to this, is, yeah, I would like you to come back and be a guy who can play all over the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who's going to turn himself into a good defensive second baseman as well. Why can't you play second base? I'm sure you can. And by the way, this is very common. You know, I mentioned Ahmed Rosario while he was still here. He's a free agent. He probably won't be back.
Right.
But I said Ahmed Rosario at one point was a huge prospect. He was a Met prospect. They traded him for Francisco Lindor. At some point in his career as a big prospect, the Indians decided, you're not him.
Mm.
So we still have a value in you,
right,
and you can still be a really serviceable Major League Baseball player, which Ahmed Rosario is, and now you're going to bounce around and play everywhere and serve a purpose. 3 years into this kid's career, that's just how I view him. And that's far different than anyone else who's going to call up today or throughout the season and say, DFA him, he stinks, or trade him. I didn't say trade him or DFA him. First of all, I don't think he has that much value, and I hate mm-hmm. trading people when they don't have value. I'd rather trade someone when it's uncomfortable for you because their value is really high,
right?
Not when their value's down.
Right, you really need them in some capacity, and you don't want to get rid of them.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I prefer not to, only because I'm not getting a great return. And yeah, I think he can have a valuable role on this team. But the role he cannot have is as the starting shortstop. And now you throw in the cloud of doubt on when he's going to come back. It's far different when you're waiting on the return of your starting shortstop versus we're waiting the return for our super utility player. To me, it's a very different view.
Yeah.
Now that then leads, of course, to the follow-up, which is, all right, who's your shortstop? Like, George Lombard Jr. is a top prospect, but he's also not ready. I mean, to be fair, he's 20 years old. He didn't hit in Double A.
No.
The idea
glove looked, his glove looked good.
But you never want to rush somebody either.
If you don't have to, definitely not.
And so I think the Yankees are in this weird spot, especially if they believe in Lombard Jr., where you're trying to buy your time until he's ready. And I can't guarantee, nor could the Yankees, that he's going to be ready in 2026. So I think, as boring as this sounds, but I'm just being honest with you, you're kind of looking at the market, and you're looking for stopgaps. You're looking for IKF, for guys like that, you know, guys that can just do the job. And by the way, if Volpe re-earns the job because he's the best option, that's great. Good for him.
But he's got to earn it.
But he's got to earn it. Is that a fair opinion on Anthony Volpe, Sean?
I mean, yeah, I think, honestly, and this pains me to say because I don't want a guy to get hurt or get surgery, I think this is actually the only way out for the Yankees to see their own mistakes with Volpe is hope that you can start the year with, hey, here's a name, Jose Caballero playing short.
Right.
Have him steal a bunch of bases in April and the start in May. And then you look at it and go, similar, different circumstances, but similar to the way Trent Grisham started the year where you couldn't pull him out of the lineup and he just took advantage of a circumstance. You need a Trent Grisham-type circumstance to arrive where the Yankees finally realize, oh, yeah, we can play a better option, and it just so happened because Volpe wasn't available, it led us there. Because if Volpe's available, they'll never get there.
Yeah, the challenge, well, the difference, obviously, is that Trent Grisham took probably playing time away from the Martian, from Dominguez.
Correct, and that's
even if not directly, kind of indirectly. And now you kind of have no idea what Jason Dominguez is.
And by the way, that's why it's completely apples to oranges,
yes.
But I'm just talking about in that scenario, the Yankees have already proven if a veteran comes along that is playing well enough, they will ride the hot hand with the veteran. So to me, even if Anthony Volpe's ready and that guy has played well enough, why the hell would you sit him at that point? And that's probably the only avenue to get the Yankees out of their Anthony Volpe vision.
By doing what, though?
By having a guy start the year because Volpe is physically unable right. to start.
No, but okay, so here's where I think the problem may lie.
Okay.
Not only with your plan, but even my plan.
All right.
If the shortstop with him out is Jose Caballero or Isaiah Kiner-Falefa or a clear stopgap until George Lombard Jr. is ready, we all know how this is going to go. When Volpe's healthy, he's just going to play.
Yeah,
it's like the Brett Gardner syndrome.
But what if the guy's playing so good he can't take him out of the lineup? That was my point with the Grisham thing.
I think that the odds are that Caballero and IKF, and I'm using him as an example. There are other options. Willie Castro, Miguel Rojas.
It's not actually IKF, but it could be.
Well, he is a free agent, so it may be. But other than signing like Bo Bichette, which they're not going to do in all likelihood, though that would be sticking it to the Blue Jays, you're bringing in kind of stopgaps where it's easier to simply go back to what you believe in, which is Anthony Volpe. You almost need, and they won't do this, but you almost need to invest more in a shortstop so that they can't go back to Anthony Volpe.
Just hold my hand and walk with me for a second.
Go ahead.
Kiki hit on this. Yes, it took away from Jason Dominguez. Was Trent Grisham not a stopgap in the outfield this year?
No, but the difference is Trent Grisham had an all-world year. The odds are you're not getting an all-world year out of IKF or Jose Caballero.
I'm acknowledging
that.
But is
it better than the alternative, which in this case we're talking about Anthony Volpe,
who
hasn't been good?
I agree it's better than the alternative, but don't you agree with me that if Caballero or IKF is the shortstop and they're producing the way their current numbers tell you, they will simply, by force of habit, go back to Anthony Volpe once he's healthy?
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. But what Sean is speculating is that whoever that Jose Caballero plays above his means.
I know, but that's unlikely.
Okay.
What Grisham did was, it was a career season and it was great.
No doubt.
But that's not the likeliest outcome for a stopgap at shortstop.
But that's my point. I'm not talking about what's likely or what's not. That's basically the only way to get Brian Cashman and I guess Aaron Boone to take off their Anthony Volpe goggles. That's the only point I'm making is... The Anthony Volpe is going to be ready at some point this year. Whoever, they're not going to go play a young guy or sign a long-term. They want Anthony Volpe to play. Their only prayer is whoever that stopgap is so hot that they're winning games that they cannot take him out of lineup. So even if it's unrealistic, I'm just telling you, this opens up their only path to that is by Anthony Volpe not being ready for opening day.
I get you. Or you do something bigger. You do something bolder. And I remember I mentioned this specific trade to you while sitting at Yankee Stadium. And I know you didn't want to hear it because we're sitting at Yankee Stadium in the middle of a playoff game. But I said, what if you took Luis Gil, you called up the Rockies, and you said, boy, you guys are desperate for pitching. We'll take back Ezekiel Tovar, a 23-year-old studly shortstop.
Only you know who that is.
Oh, Sean, when I brought up Ezekiel Tovar, did you say, who is that?
I only know because I'm in your dopey fantasy baseball.
Right.
Well, he's a guy who had a great year last year, not 2 years ago, 2024, won a gold glove, was an emerging star. He's 23 years old.
How's his bat?
He had a bad year last year. So it would be one of those, the Rockies are like, eh, screw it. Maybe we don't believe in him. Yeah. Let's get a pitcher because we're so desperate. But that's another way out. If you trade for another really good, young, everyday shortstop, because that would skip the habit of what you guys are talking about, which is the Volpe drug.
Can I just, though, ask a question before we get really heated into baseball offseason stuff the next month? You're talking about what you would do, right? Don't we have to operate under the realism of what Brian Cashman's going to do?
Yes.
That is my point. They have, how many messages have they sent to us? They're not giving up on Anthony Volpe and making him a super utility guy.
I think that's right. We've seen it over. And even when asked directly about his failures, the question gets dodged. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I'm really interested to hear what he says tomorrow, specifically about Anthony Volpe. Obviously about the postmortem on the season and where things went wrong and what's going to change for 2026, et cetera, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. But I'm really interested in Volpe because he was the guy for so much of this season that took all of our ire. It's who every Yankee fan collectively did not want to see play.
And the ire towards it, and Sean, you said this, and I thought it was brilliantly put, the ire was at Volpe, but it was really at Cashman's loyalty to Volpe.
Yes.
Correct.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's not an anti-Volpe sentiment. Like, what I'm even saying today about Anthony Volpe isn't anti-Volpe. Like, you even joked during the playoffs, you're like, boy, you love Ahmed Rosario. And I said something to you. It has nothing to do with the Mets. I love that a failed prospect turned himself into just a good ball player who made himself useful. Anthony Volpe can absolutely be that guy.
Right. But it's not what we were sold.
Well, but so, you got to get over it.
Not us. We don't care about getting over it. It's Cashman having to get over it.
He's got to get over it. Like, he's not the guy you thought he was, and that's okay. And you don't have to give up on him. You just have to say, you're not my shortstop. Right. If you earn that back, great. The second story will be fantastic.
I'm with you. And the reason I'm not going to get ire on Anthony Volpe is when guys stink, you see them, the head down, they frustrate you. Anthony Volpe tried his ass off all year. And you could see when he was frustrated after that pass. So I give him credit for that. That's why I'm not mad at Anthony Volpe. It's okay that you're not that good and you're not what was promised. That's not your fault. You just are who you are. It's the organization's fault for putting on blinders and not admitting a mistake.
But to your point, what will Brian Cashman do? I'll give you a prediction. So he's going to meet the media at noon tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We'll all hear it. We'll respond to it. He will probably...
Live. We are playing it live here on WFAN during BT South.
We are playing it live. Very good. So you get to hear it live right here on WFAN. My prediction is that they will make the injury the excuse for his failures this season.
So I agree with you, but then he's got to get hit with the right hook question right after that. When asked about the injury the last time Cashman met, or was it Cashman or Boone? One of them said the injury we thought was previous, and we don't think that that was a reason.
Boone said it did not affect his play.
Yep. It did not affect his play. So if you're going to use which I agree they'll go with, how is their immediate response not, is there a disconnect between you and Boone?
At some point, they're wrong.
Right.
At some point, there's a disconnect between the front office and what Aaron Boone is saying publicly in real time. And they're going to have to reconcile that. Otherwise, they need to get called on it because Anthony Volpe wasn't healthy. Everybody else knew it. They knew it, actually, and they denied it and just kept running him out there where he was compromised as a hitter and as a fielder.
Yep.
So much so that he led the league, at least shortstops, in errors for a guy who won a Golden Glove 2 years ago. So something was clearly off, and they kept running him out there. So they're wrong one way or another.
And I'd like a third follow-up to that. Matter of fact, send me there. Here's the third follow-up. Okay, so we saw this happen with Anthony Volpe. You allowed Mark Leiter Jr. last year to pitch 2 weeks with a fracture in his kneecap. You admitted that Clark Schmidt, dating back prior to the no-hit attempt, was feeling forearm issues. You kept trotting him out there. He needed Tommy John. And 2 years ago, you allowed Anthony Rizzo to play 3 months for a concussion. Is there something wrong with how you're medically evaluating these players?
That's a great question. It's a great question. I want you to write down a few more questions. Tiki, too, myself as well. The questions that need to be asked to Brian Cashman at his press conference tomorrow. So we'll preemptively give all the great Yankee beat reporters ideas. I'm sure they have their own ideas, but the things we as baseball fans and Yankee fans out there, you need this answered. We'll get to that a little bit after 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Newton, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
We're good.
Good.
So, you guys were talking about this labrum injury. I happen to have had 3 of those surgeries myself.
Oh, dude.
A rotator cuff combination.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Nah, and you know, the thing is that when I was a kid, the first time it happened, I was playing double A college football, and it happened. But in 1988, when it happened, was like
the medicine brutal. Wasn't good. You're right. Yeah.
And it took 11 months. It took 11 months, and I wasn't right. And the second time I happened was I was playing beer league softball in my early 40s, and I was just tossing my kid around in the backyard. And it popped. And the surgeon that did that was the last Jets surgeon. I can't remember the doctor's name. Yes.
Yes.
What a fantastic job.
Right.
And he cleaned everything up. I was actually back playing softball almost 5 months.
Wow.
But it's a mindset. So it's kind of like...
Yeah, you're 40. You're 40 at that point.
Yeah, and you're not trying to come back and be a professional baseball player at the age of 25.
Right, so you're not fully strong enough to do everything.
Yeah.
But at 40, it's like, all right, whatever, just as long as I can do something.
I think the best frame of reference, as much as a lot of people in the audience have had similar surgeries, they're not major leaguers, is to just find other major leaguers. So I found Josh Jung from 2022, Texas Ranger, infielder, whole thing, and we saw 5 months. That's what it took.
Yeah.
From the injury in late February to being on a baseball field playing in rookie ball, it was a five-month cycle. If we assume Anthony had the surgery as soon as the season ended, which is a week ago, 5 months brings you to March 7th, which gets him into spring training games, which makes his readiness for opening day right on that line, but probably not. But that's not deep into the season, a five. That means he'll be ready second week of the year based on that, barring setbacks, you know, barring anything else unforeseen. So it doesn't feel like it's something that's greatly going to affect his 2026 season.
Unless it does.
Unless there's something we don't see coming.
Right.
Sure. Ozzy and Woodridge. What's up, Ozzy?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
We're good, man.
Good.
So you guys think Cash's hand puppet, Howdy Booney, is not getting you're fired tomorrow?
No. Yeah, I don't think he's getting a public humiliation, no.
Why would he be there if he was?
You know what I'm surprised at? When you asked yesterday and even a couple weeks back when it was speculated if he would get fired, that Sean didn't suggest that the guy he would want would be his roid boy, A-Rod, to be the next manager.
That was my suggestion. I'm surprised. I mean,
I know.
You thought that's what he was going to go with? Well, he's close with A-Rod now. Aren't you buddies with A-Rod now, Sean?
I just call him Alex. He's not A-Rod.
Okay.
So I'll say, like, when Booney gets fired after next year, Sean is going to clamor for A-Rod to be the next Yankee manager.
I don't want that
such
for
a
Alex.
Brilliant. Mm. Nah.
No, no. It'll take too much time away from the tan.
That could get volatile between him and Cashman.
Yeah.
Remember when... you think so? Yeah, it's almost as volatile as Aaron Glenn in press conference. What is it about guys married to women named Ro that makes them so rude and irritable so quickly? I don't understand.
Huh?
I don't get that
one. I don't either.
Who was the last afternoon drive guy married to that did this solo show?
You're boring me to tears with this. I'm sorry. Okay, I can't go on.
Clown.
Okay. I mean, I got the mic part. I just didn't understand. All
the
right,
Giants stink.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Aaron Glenn's wife's name is Rose.
I didn't pick up on that. I'm not like familiar with my coaches and managers' wives' names. I have to be honest. What's Carlos Mendoza's?
He said it in his first press conference.
And I forgot about it. Like, what's Carlos Mendoza's wife's name? I already forgot. No offense.
By the way, I had forgotten that I had written a Yankees song to put a bow on their season. Would you guys like to hear it?
Yeah, make it quick. Let's hear it.
Oh, Sean, remember when Evan cut me off when I was going to sing O Canada?
No, but carry on.
You do, but you're playing like you don't.
The guy that's running the government
Toronto,
is an idiot.
Jay spanked that Yankees can. Pitching and hitting, they beat them to a man.
The guy that's running the
government
with is
waiting
an idiot.
Eyes will judge rise. The Jays are your daddy. From head to hide, old Toronto, the Jays kicked our land, New York Yankee free. Toronto, thank you so much from me. Toronto, thank you so much from me.
Oh, you lost your tone a little bit there.
The guy that's running the government is an idiot.
That was awful.
That was bad.
I mean, that was terrible.
We'll never get those 35 seconds.
I know.
Can't get time back.
There was a song that came out earlier today, and the timing of it is terrible. It was a group of Blue Jay fans dropped a song called Duh, Yankees Lose. Have you heard this song?
I have not.
Would you want to hear it?
Vlad Jr.?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's inspired by Vlad Jr. and David Ortiz.
Ortiz, yeah.
For those that missed it, David Ortiz famously said, Yankees lose. And so Vladimir Guerrero Jr. kind of did it with him after they beat the Yankees. So these guys made a song. Do you have it or do you want me to pull it up?
No, I'm going through it now. There's no curses in it. I haven't heard the full
song. It's all in Espanol. Okay. And I had my wife listen to it.
All right.
To tell me what it was about. And her response was, LOL, they're making fun of the Yankees. So, ladies and gentlemen, tell me if Ozzy's song was better than this song.
Hey, let's do it again. Bad Yankees lose.
Ahora no dicen los kilos, los número uno en la liga. Nadie está matando a los Yankees como lo está haciendo este liga. Bad Yankees lose. Yankees lose. Bad Yankees lose. Yankees lose.
Hey, so which one's better, that or Ozzy's?
I like the beat on that one.
The beat's actually pretty good.
It's pretty cool.
I gotta tell you.
The chorus sucks, but it's true, so whatever. You can't combat facts.
I think what the Blue Jays need to do, especially since they're going nowhere this year, at least in this ALCS, is they should take that song from those great Blue Jay fans, and when they play the Yankees next year, they should play that song after they beat the Yankees. That should be like their theme song.
Oh, it's amazing how irrelevant the Yankees are to all these teams, huh?
Well, they're your division rival. I mean, they hate you.
No, yeah, they hate us. We could care less about them.
Right, now they're getting out in front of themselves, and they're going to get swept.
No, you're right. And by the way, Sean is so right. Like, the Yankee fan was confused on what to even root for in this ALCS because they don't hate the Blue Jays the way they hate the Red Sox.
Right.
Like, if this was Red Sox-Mariners, it would be like, yeah, let's go Mariners.
No doubt.
But I think you're like, I don't care about the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. I kind of hope they win just to validify our season so we didn't get annihilated by some crap team.
Now they're going to get swept.
I mean, and here's the thing about the Blue Jays. And so I said this to you last week about the weirdness of the home road splits with the Yankees. And some took it as they're cheating. They were never cheating.
No.
Here's what was going on. And I think it's obvious now. And this is on the coaching staff. This is a real thing. And by the way, I'd ask this to Boone and Cashman. They had something on you. What did they have? Mm-hmm. Why did they know what was coming? And that's not cheating. Like, that's like the easy, they must have had cameras. They didn't have cameras. Look what the Mariners are doing.
Right.
It's that the Yankees gave you something through all the games they played with you this year in which there were tells on them, and you knew what was coming. Why did you do such a bad job of covering that up?
Right.
Like, why were they so able to figure it out?
It's analytics. All teams do this, I think. It's analytics.
What do you mean?
So teams have videos that they watch, and they figure out your tells. It doesn't matter who the pitcher is.
Right.
The video, I'm sure, aided by AI, helps teach. This isn't real time. Teach position coaches, particularly first and third base coaches, what a pitcher might be about to do.
Based on little things.
Little simple tells.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Right.
Clay Holmes stepping across the rubber. We talked about that before.
Right.
Like, it probably doesn't. I think he's just trying to get different angles on the ball, but whatever. Every pitcher has a tell about something that they're doing.
Yeah.
And now you can pinpoint it because video and AI can help you do that.
Makes sense.
And then you inform the coaches, you teach them, you prepare, and some of them are just better at communicating it to the batter. Like, there was a hit a couple years ago where Aaron Judge was, you guys will remember this, he was like looking at the
Toronto.
Right.
It was in Toronto.
He was looking at the first base coach.
Yes.
And it right before he's swinging, he's looking, and then he, I forget what he did. I forgot what the outcome was, but he got a big hit.
Yeah.
And so every team does it.
Oh, no doubt.
It's just a matter of who does it best.
But there you nailed it. Like, the Mets are hiring new coaches. The Yankees are hiring new coaches. I will never tell you this stuff doesn't mean anything, because it obviously does mean something. It's just we can't tell what it's going to mean, but you want to be able to steal better than they steal.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Beltran was infamous for this. And I know we all make the jokes now about the videos, but no. He would steal signs legally better than anybody else. And a lot of that is based on tells and things you pick up on. You want to be better than everyone else at that. And so what a fair question is for the New York Yankees, and again, it's not cheating. That's just what we jump to. Why were they so good at picking up you?
Hmm.
Why, in that building, did they? It's like they knew what was coming.
Yeah.
What were you giving away?
Don't know.
And you wonder, when you're building a new coaching staff, how much of those guys are just going to be flat out better at preparing their players to know and to pick up on things like that. It's why I always want Beltran on my coaching staff.
And to also not give it away.
Yeah.
Not have the tells. Be cleaner or be smarter or more benign in your prep as you get ready to throw pitches for all your pitchers, relievers included.
Absolutely. Breece Hall with a very mysterious Instagram post in which he said, hold on, I got to pull it up again. What the hell did he say again?
He said, they want me to lay down, but I got something to stand up for.
Free 20.
Free 20. Hashtag free 20.
Hashtag free 20.
And so, I was just curious about who they was.
No, and I think that most people definitely took it as he's mad at the Jets and wants to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
So Breece Hall did meet with the media today and was asked specifically about the post. Don't have the audio, so we can't hear the inflection of his voice, but I can read the quote to you. Are you ready?
Yes, let's hear it.
I haven't posted this season. It's just a way for me to say I'm ready for whatever comes my way, whether it's going against an opponent, whether it's in my life. For me, it's a football thing. All right, I'm ready for whatever opponent is coming my way.
What?
Dude, he's trying to pivot.
Yeah, he's spinning like crazy.
Oh my God, he should just work for one of the parties.
Right, this is PR 101.
Yeah.
Politics 101. Forget what I said. This is what I meant.
Yes. He also said the post had nothing to do with trade rumors and that's not what it was about. I think it clearly was.
He said they want me to lay down.
Yeah. And he hashtagged free 20. Doesn't that mean let me go free? By the way, he could have easily said.
This is why you should not post a tweet, Instagram, whatever, when you're emotional.
100%.
You absolutely should not.
You shouldn't do a lot of stuff when you're emotional.
It's true, especially right after a game. It should be an hour moratorium or something.
Oh, I would say like a day.
Maybe a day.
Give it time. No, I agree. I think he is trying to pivot off of what he initially did. Because when you hashtag free 20, you're telling us you want to be free.
And without anything else in that post, free 20 tells you all you need to know.
Right.
So it's not like they're not giving him carries. He's getting...
What he didn't get was targets. That was the problem.
Okay. that's not his fault.
No, but...
That's Justin Fields' fault. So now you're taking a shot at your quarterback?
Maybe. Or the play calling. How about this about the Giants? You ready? It's from our good buddy Connor Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
Want a little Giant nugget to get you all excited?
Let's hear it.
The Giants aggressive in pursuit of adding a receiver before the trade deadline.
Jalen Waddle.
Believed to be, quote, big game hunting.
What does that even mean?
He gave you three names of the big games.
Are you ready for the three names?
Okay.
Now, I want this on record. All three names were on the Evan Roberts list.
Okay.
Okay? All of them, including one that I reported. I suggested before anybody else.
So Jalen Waddle was one.
Jalen Waddle. Chris Olave and Jacoby Myers.
Okay.
Those are the three names among the top potential targets, according to Connor Hughes. It's also possible Connor's just copying my list as well.
Mm.
We may just be at the point now where everyone's copying the list I made.
This is the excerpt that he reported. The challenge with acquiring Olave or Waddle, according to sources, lies in persuading their current teams to part ways. A directive from ownership, front office shakeups, or significant draft compensation might be enough to shift the conversation.
Yeah, I think in Miami's case, it feels like they're teetering.
Yeah.
That there is going to be major changes. You already had the Tua situation. He apologized today for basically throwing his teammates and himself under the bus.
For not going to player-only meetings.
Right. For players not showing up on time to players-only meetings. So I could see the Waddle thing changing. The Olave thing is, I mean, they are a rebuilding franchise. They've got to make a decision about him long-term. And the Jacoby Myers thing is probably a little bit more complicated because I think the Raiders are trying to win. You don't start Geno Smith if you're not trying to win.
Right. But they don't really have another option. Who is it? O'Connell? I forget who the backup quarterback
is. It's Aiden O'Connell, but he got hurt at the beginning of the year, so they traded for Kenny Pickett.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, but still, he's not your future either. So,
right.
I don't even know what they're doing. But they're 2-4, so
here's what
doesn't
we,
matter.
Here's what we know. Joe Shane's getting aggressive. Mm. Big game hunting. And this goes back to something we said earlier.
I mean, let's be honest. Big game hunting is like, it's, I don't know, it's just some superstar receiver. These guys aren't superstars.
I think Jalen Waddle is the closest to that. Yeah, I don't think Jacoby Myers is really big game hunting. No. I think Jalen Waddle is. I think that would be like, whoa, oh my God. Yeah. What a tandem they'd have between him and Malik once he's healthy.
I agree, because think of the tandem that he had with Tyreek Hill.
I think Chris Olave is more potential, like he could be.
Hasn't fully realized it yet.
But I think those three guys are all on very different tiers. I think Waddle is the star-ish player. Olave is the guy who could very well be a star-ish player. And Jacoby Myers is, I think, solid, like a solid ad. But I think this goes back to the fact that Joe Shane wants to keep his job. They got to win freaking games. And I think that you should improve this room as long as it helps you now and in the future. But in the case of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, you want to be helped right now because there's no guarantee you're coming back for 2026.
Yeah, you got to win.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Paul is in Trenton, New Jersey. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, hi, guys. Look, I'm tired of you guys blaming Volpe. Like, he was the reason this team lost. Volpe, while he was playing, he would go to his left or his right better than any of the shortstops that they could have out there. The other shortstops will watch the ball go by him.
Well, a couple of things, Paul. No one is saying the Yankees lost because of Anthony Volpe. Mm-hmm. I don't think that statement's been uttered by me, Tiki, or anybody else.
No.
But when looking at the season and looking at the future, Anthony Volpe is no longer earning kind of the status of being the opening day shortstop for the New York Yankees. His defense regressed this season. You can tell me all you want about how great he is going to his left compared to somebody else. His defense was bad this season. He regressed as a player.
Yes.
So I view him not as somebody who should be the scapegoat for their failures. I think there are a lot of things the Yankees should try to improve on. But that's the latest because of Volpe needing the surgery and one of the easiest things to discuss because he is contracted to the team next year.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody was blaming him. I think they were just faulting his lack of production, both as a fielder, as you mentioned, leading the league and from shortstops at least. I don't know if it ultimately was the league, but in errors. But more importantly, he had 212.
Yeah, he didn't have enough. And his defense went backwards.
Yes.
So he wasn't the problem. He was one of the things that was a problem. Andy in New Haven. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So I kind of a hypothetical question for the two of you. Don't overthink it because I have a follow-up. What, in your opinion, is like a tougher watch? Is it the rookie who the lights are too bright and they can't quite find their footing? Or is it like the grizzled veteran that you really like that unfortunately has lost his fastball?
Grizzled veteran.
I think it's a grizzled veteran. Because you know it's over. You're trying to accept that it's over.
Yep.
Trapped somewhere in between the two of those is Ozzie and Woodridge.
That was a great setup.
Oh, nice one.
That was a good setup.
That was solid.
Yeah, his last call today was rough. You can rewind on the Odyssey app to about 4:30. He tried to sing a song that was bad.
Yeah, don't.
I'm still pissed at Ozzie. Don't rewind it. This whole break, I was pissed at Ozzie.
Why?
He called me out on saying, I didn't remember something that he sung that brought up with Evan, and I'm pretending to not remember. I still have no idea what he's referencing.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
And he should be thanking me because I was the only one in the room who even got his stupid road joke.
But you weren't pissed at Ozzie the whole break, Tiki. He was pissed at me.
Well, that too.
And I think Tiki should decide if you had a right to be pissed at me.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of on the fence about this. I'm very admitting
you're
when I'm wrong.
On the fence about whether you're mad at yourself.
Whether I should apologize or not. I think I already did apologize, but whether I was wrong. And the audience can understand it because it happened on the air. So earlier in the show, when we were talking about Volpe, so it was this hour,
mm-hmm.
I said, hey, the best way to see how his recovery is going to be off a torn labrum to a non-throwing shoulder is to find a comp.
Right. Examples of kids having the same issue and then what happened.
So I said Josh Young of the Texas Rangers got hurt in February of 2022. And then to repeat what I said, hey, Sean, can you look up the game logs and tell me when he returned? So a minute and a half goes by. I don't hear anything from him. And so I start to get frustrated, like, all right, I don't want to spend all day on Josh Young. I need this answer. So I very quickly do it myself.
Yes.
I then announce it on the air and take a shot at Sean. Like, I'm sorry, Sean, I can't wait too much longer. Here's the result. So I provided the result, which, by the way, was he returned in June in the minors and then the majors in September. Sean was like, what the hell was that?
Josh Young?
Josh Young.
Young.
So Sean's like, what the hell is that? Actually, you can continue. Explain to the audience why that sequence pissed you off.
Okay, this is why it pissed me off. And I would like to explain my point of view.
Yes,
okay?
Go ahead.
I got the answer. And for Evan's brain, whatever, the answer happened basically exactly at the 90-second mark. It happened just as Evan was saying it. Why it pissed me off was Evan says it, and I go right to town. I go to Baseball Reference. I type in his name. And as Evan is saying this out loud, I see in real time games played, and Evan goes, but I want the answer in the minors. So now I go, okay, I have to go to a website I've never visited before, the Minor League Baseball Reference page. By the way, I'm very proud at 38 that I've never had to visit that website, so I go there.
Is he? He's not on Fangraphs?
Okay. Tiki, as an aside, this is what also has pissed me off. In past times when discussing stuff, Evan has told me don't go to any other website but Baseball Reference for this stuff. You, Evan, back me up on this. You have told me that.
Why?
It's the best, in my opinion.
It's the best. Yeah. So I am trained by Evan to go there. So now I have to go to the minor league baseball one. So now I go, I type in his name, and I see what Evan sees, but in a slower version, different stages. So, right. Okay, I'm trying
Josh
to push the single.
Josh Young, by the way, Y-O-U-N-G.
No, J-U-N-G.
No, got it. Okay. No, that's why he couldn't find it.
No, actually, thank God I knew who he was, and okay. So I go to the single A. Now I see the game's played, and now I'm clicking on the game log. I finally get it as he says it on, and I look, and it's been 90 seconds. What I was angry about, Tiki, is Evan's known me long enough, and where I came from previous here, we're lucky we talked baseball, let alone visited minorleaguebaseballreference.com. It's like I'm reading a brand new website for the first time, getting accustomed. It's still, I thought I did it in good time. If Evan is going to ask me to do something that he has way more background than research,
I'm a loser.
That he's also just going to do the moment he asks me to do it,
I'm a loser.
Then just do it. Don't ask me to do it.
But so just a rebuttal before Tiki decides. I gave him a minute. At that point, I'm like, all right, I need the show to move on. Like, I just want the answer, and then we can move on back to Volpe. So I was frustrated he didn't provide it, so I said, like a lot of things in life, I'm just going to do it myself.
Okay.
I told Jeff to take the garbage out. He didn't do it. I'll do it myself.
Why didn't you just do it yourself?
Because I didn't want to be distracted in talking to you, Tiki. Huh. So I figured out what's Sean doing. He's not potting the 6 o'clock hour. So let me just get him to do this.
First of all, unneeded shot. But you were also distracting yourself anyway because it took you 15 seconds like a puppy dog to go, I'm just going to do it myself. And don't tell me it was longer. I know it only took me 90 seconds. So in all that time, it took you 15 seconds.
I wanted to get the people the information.
Okay.
And quite frankly, it took too long.
All right. Hmm. So I would just say this.
So who is right or wrong, Tiki?
No, hold on, Tiki, my closing argument would be this. You're the quarterback of the team.
Yeah.
You lead by example. Next time, if you're going to do it yourself and you didn't like it, just say, by the way, I got the answer on Young, whatever. You don't take the shot at me. And then in a break, come here and go, what was taking you so long? And we could have discussed this.
I was annoyed.
Instead of throwing me under the bus when I'm being a real human
damn
being.
Damn right I threw you
and
under
going,
the bus.
Minor League Baseball Reference, how does this even work?
I threw you under the bus. I'm like, why is it taking
I've
this guy
never
so
used
long?
Minor League Baseball Reference.
Thank you. Well, and Tiki, if not for Evan, I probably would have gone to Fangraphs.
And Tiki, one other thing here. I've worked here for like 15 years. I've never even heard of any of these websites or ever gone to any of them. I'm sure Evan uses these websites on dates. So
you should not speak then. Because now you're just making yourself look bad.
Why don't I
know this stuff?
Why would anybody give a rat's ass about the minor league stats
because
of a guy that no one on our audience has ever heard of?
Because,
now you're going to piss me off,
because
bro.
I was
you
referencing...
You the people that live in the world you live in
because
care. The rest of society doesn't.
Because I was referencing the timetable of
Jeez,
a Yankee
bro.
Player coming back.
We don't live in the minutia.
I know. Well, then I'm going to do everything by myself. Yeah. That's the moral
Please
of the story.
Thank you.
So, Tiki, who
was
right or who was wrong?
I think you were wrong.
I was wrong?
I don't
okay.
know who was right, but you were wrong.
You know, I'll live with that answer.
I apologize, Sean, but I have learned I'm literally going to do everything by myself. Let's go to Zach in Berkeley Heights. What's up, Zach?
Evan Tiki, what's up, guys?
All's good.
If you give me just a minute, I just want to make a point on Pete Alonso. I know you're a big fan of his,
yes.
And I appreciate the positivity he gets to the fans and the power and, you know, a lot of the things that he does for the team. But real quickly, I just want to give you two stats. since coming into the league. He's a minus 27 in fielding runs saved, and he's a minus 6.1 defensive WAR.
Do you believe that?
And when you hear David,
Do you believe that? You watch the Mets. I understand what the defensive metrics say. You watch him. Do you think he's that bad defensively?
I think he's the worst defensive first baseman in the league.
Do you say that because you believe it, or do you say it because those numbers tell it to you?
If I watch every game, I don't go to every game like you do. But
all you got to do is watch. Do you watch every game and really feel he's the worst defensive first baseman in baseball?
I really do. And that's the only reason why I'm calling you, because, and I think when you look at some of the things Stern says with run prevention, and you see that, you know, you got Soto here, you got Nimmo here, you got Lindor regressing to a certain extent, you got Beatty not winning. He's not going to win any Gold Gloves. How do you get better in that area? I know you need to get better in pitching, but how do you get better defensively when you have, and I know you said on Larico, I think last week, where you said he got really bad defensively, throwing and defensively.
Yes, I thought at the end of the year he was lousy. Well, I don't think you do get better, Zach. Obviously, I think he is what he is.
Yeah,
but I disagree, and I respect that you're using your eyeballs on this. I don't think those metrics are fair to him.
Yeah, but those
metrics—he's the worst defensive first baseman in baseball.
Metrics are going to be how he's going to be judged.
I know. I'm just saying to you, but here's my point to you and to anyone else: do you agree with them? Defensive metrics are not perfect. Do you agree with them?
Not really. But I also don't watch other first basemen.
Okay. It's a fair answer. I just don't think he's the worst first baseman in baseball. Just because defensive metrics say it doesn't make it true.
But if he's in the conversation, isn't that enough?
Is he enough
of a negative tick? Forget the fact if he's not the worst.
Right.
But if he's in the conversation to be the worst, that's not a good space.
No, and I think that
let's say he's the fifth worst.
Okay.
Then he's still in the bottom third.
Okay, so then here's where the pivot gets tough. You've decided I want to get better at first base.
Yes.
How are you going to get better enough at first base to overcome the offense you're about to lose? You are losing a premium right-handed bat. Mm. Who are you replacing? Like, if you go say, all right, I'm going to go get Alex Bregman to play third base, and that'll be the bat to replace him, or Kyle Schwarber.
You go get a primary DH, and you get somebody better to play first.
Okay. But that's what you would then have to do.
Right.
And so let's say that primary DH is Kyle Schwarber. Mm-hmm. He's a few years older, and you don't even have the ability to ever play him in the field. So are you truly getting better? That's the question you got to ask yourself. I get the defense. You want to improve the defense. All right. At the cost of the bat and at the cost of who you're then going to replace Pete with. It's not as simple as people like to make it, like our last caller does. Well, he's bad, bad defensively. I need to be better.
It definitely isn't as simple, but I do think that if Pete Alonso thinks he's getting a 7-year deal and he wants to be the first baseman of the future for the Mets, then they're talking on two different planes.
Well, the middle ground is you will play first base just less and you will DH more as time goes on.
Yeah, and so
and now, I think that's what the Mets want to do.
Yeah, but now you have to go find a first baseman.
A guy who can play it part of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And probably DH too. Like I can't fully conceptualize what it's going to look like, but It makes it more complicated.
It definitely does. Let's go to James in Hoboken. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Evan, I agree with you over Sean.
Oh, thank you.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because if Sean would have just communicated to Evan what he was doing, Evan would have gotten frustrated and been like, oh, I'm just going to do it myself. If Sean would have been like, okay, give me a second, Evan, let me look it up, then Evan would have relaxed and would have been like, okay, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, but I think, James, the problem is Evan, I mean, there's a glass, it's clear, between us, me and Evan, and Sean and Tommy. And so you can look back there and see that Sean is lost.
Could you?
Yes.
I didn't see that. 100%.
Did you
have a lost look on your face, Sean?
It didn't look like he had it. You can look at him and say, you can tell he didn't have it.
Yeah, right. You could see you probably scrolling the mouse, squinting on what the hell is this?
Yeah, what am
What's
I looking
Round
for?
Rock?
I don't even know what we're talking about. Like, what is this? Jack Jung? What? Who is who?
Yeah.
Josh Jung? Yeah.
And also, Evan's whole point was he didn't want to be distracted. Imagine me not telling him and giving him the play. It would take me longer to give him the play-by-play what I was doing.
I'll never forget. I was told like 10 years ago, the biggest thing you need to improve on, Evan, is you have to trust others to do things. Because my thing is I just do everything. Yeah. This was one of those moments where I'm like,
well, you could have gotten it in 30 like 10 seconds.
I know. That's what I'm going to do from now on. Well, you're off the hook.
The ones that you can get quickly, do it yourself.
Yes. I don't mind doing the work, but then understand that like it might take me 90 seconds, not 10 seconds. That's all.
I wanted it quick because I didn't want to talk too much about Josh Jung. I just wanted to know his timetable.
Yeah, you're getting in like, just go to the minor league baseball reference. They have the Major League Baseball reference, Major League stats too.
They're actually connected, by the way.
Of course they're connected. It's a baseball reference.
You know why the minor, it's not even minor league baseball reference. You know why it's so important this time of year? This is where Tiki's going to get lost in it. All the Japanese players. That's where they list them.
Oh, is that
there's
right?
Like, dude, there were like three guys.
What's the kid's name for? Not, he's not a kid, but because I think he's
Munakama.
Munakama.
Munetaka Murakami. Munetaka Murakami. And he's not the only one. There's like two other guys that are about to be posted.
Yeah, they're
who are like really good players. I'm like, I don't know anything about them. And that's where all their numbers are.
Oh, Masanori Murakami.
Munetaka Murakami.
But there's a Masanora.
Okay, now I'm lost then.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people it's not, outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.